happened the way it did because the Holy Spirit descended on the church in power and empowered the church to be witnesses in the earth. And so the big idea that we're going to move through, be kind of three main sections that we hit today in my message. The big idea is this: on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came like a fire. The gift of the Holy Spirit is for you, and he empowers us to participate in the ongoing mission of Jesus. On Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came like a fire. The gift of the Holy Spirit is for you, and he empowers us to participate in the ongoing mission of Jesus. If you don't already have your Bibles open, just go ahead and open them up to Acts chapter 2, because we'll be reading portions of it as we go here. So firstly, the Holy Spirit came like a fire. In our text, we find 120 of them, the apostles, the 12 that Jesus walked with. Jesus's mother, Mary, was there. Jesus's brothers were there. This was a group including many women. Acts chapter 1 says, Daryl Bach, New Testament scholar, confirms that the Pentecost crowd was likely the same as what was described in chapter 1. And they're doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. They are obediently waiting in unity and constantly in prayer. Before Jesus ascended, Luke's gospel records that he told them not to leave the city, but to wait for what the Father had promised. Wait until you are, and this is a direct quote from Jesus, clothed with power from on high. Wow. That is some sort of promise. And so this was an electric day. This was a day of days. This was a earth-shattering moment in the history of the church. Just as was promised, the Father and the Son sent and poured out the Spirit upon the church, and it was spectacular. This is exactly what's written in the Athanasian Creed. If you're here last week, Andy Lampkin kind of highlighted the ascension in the context of the Apostles' Creed. One of the other great creeds of the church is the Athanasian Creed, and in that creed, the church established that actually it was the Father and the Son that poured the Spirit out on the church. So it was like the full weight of the Godhead, the full weight of heaven behind it, poured the Spirit of God out on the church, just in the fullness of time, just as he promised. Here we see an incredible example of Trinitarian unity and Trinitarian purpose. The full weight of heaven pours out the Spirit upon the church. Let's read it one more time, just verses 1-4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. What a sight that would have been. That would have got their attention. In verse 4, I love this. It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of them? All of them. Men, women, the apostles, lay leaders alike. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This was tangible. This was supernatural. You hear the sound of a violent wind just sweeps through the house. They see with their eyes tongues of fire descend upon them. This is not your average prayer meeting. I'm not sure about you. This is not your average, you know, Wednesday at 12 p.m. at PCC prayer meeting. Am I right? This is a divine outpouring of the Spirit of God. And it was a tangible thing. It showed itself in tangible ways. Tongues of fire. This was supernatural. The scriptures say the sound, it came from heaven. This was not a breeze passing through the room. This was a mighty, violent wind from heaven that swept through the room. I mean, this was powerful, powerful moment. And What was basically happening here, if you remember what Jesus promised in John chapter 14, is he said, you know the Holy Spirit because he is with you and he will be in you. Jesus promised that when he was in the upper room, right before he went to the cross. You know the Spirit because he's with you, but guess what? He will be in you. In you. So this was a powerful indwelling of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit came, and the apostles from that moment on were like men on fire. From that moment on, the church was a church on fire. Church on fire with the presence of God, on fire and filled with the Spirit of God. So much so that even on that day, as Peter stood up and preached, and Prince will preach this next week, 3,000 people are added to their number. That's probably just men. So it's probably more like 6,000-7,000 kids there. Who knows? In one day, like thousands of people are added to the church. This was not some church charged up and just on some sort of emotional high. This was a church empowered by the Spirit of God. And the scriptures even said, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The church, all of a sudden, from this moment on, this was a turning point. This was an ignition point of the church. And this is your inheritance and it's mine. This is your lineage as the people of God. This is our promised inheritance. If you are in Christ, the Spirit is not only with you, the Spirit is in you. Powerful. This was not an isolated event. The indwelling Holy Spirit is the sure inheritance of all who believe in Jesus. If you are in Christ, the Spirit of God is in you. Amen? So secondly, let's spend a few moments talking about how the gift of the Holy Spirit is for you. I want you to do a little bit of soul searching and bring your own life and experience to this text this morning. What is your experience of the Holy Spirit? What has your experience with the Holy Spirit been in your life? What is your experience on a daily basis? What is your interaction with the Holy Spirit like? Be thinking about these things as we go through, because the truth of this text and the truth of the scriptures as a whole is that the immediacy of the presence of the Spirit is for you and is for me. What do I mean by immediacy? The definition of immediacy is the quality of bringing one into direct and instant involvement with something, giving rise to a sense of urgency or excitement. The quality of bringing one into direct and instant involvement with something, the immediacy of the presence of Jesus, the Spirit of Christ is within you. And it is tangible. It has an effect. Take a look at verses 17 to 18. Don't take my word for it. Let's take a look at the text. Mary read it so powerfully for us already. Verse 17. This was Peter standing up and trying to make sense of what is going on, because this is a supernatural outpouring. He stands up and this is what he says. Actually, what you're seeing today is the fulfillment of what the prophet Joel spoke about. And Joel spoke and said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Come on. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. From generation to generation, the Spirit comes and it has an effect even on my servants, both men and women. I will pour out my Spirit in those days and they will prophesy. It had an immediate effect. As soon as the Spirit fell, they couldn't help themselves. They're bursting out with tongues and they're declaring the wonders of God at full volume, fear just shedding off of them. It had an effect on them, the immediacy of the presence of God. And I think if we're honest, probably in the Western church in particular, we've probably lost some of that. And as we're worshiping this morning and as Brent's singing that song, we are hungry for more of you. There's something in my spirit as I come to a day like Pentecost that reminds me, actually, we are made for more than just everyday wake up, go to work, life, humdrum. We are made as the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we are made to be empowered, and we are made for the presence of God. We are made for the presence of God. We are made to live in that place. A few thoughts from New Testament scholar and good friend of the Alliance, Gordon Smith, who I mentioned, his book has been really formative for me as I have been studying and preparing for this morning's message. He writes this book, and if you haven't gotten this book, I would highly recommend you pick this book up. It'd be a great summer read for you. A little bit of homework for you today. The book's called Evangelical, Sacramental, and Pentecostal: Why the Church Should Be All Three. What an amazing thing. If you want to figure out, like, what's Jeff all about? What's this VIA thing? He basically wrote the VIA textbook. this three-stream language. And in this chapter on the Pentecostal stream of the church, he starts unpacking this a little bit because he's basically going in and saying, what are the treasures of each of these streams and how do we embrace them? And what he kind of unpacks is that too many Christians, it seems, live their lives without much of an awareness of the immediacy of God in their lives. That though we might intellectually or theologically hold on to these truths of the Spirit of God, functionally, we almost live in a binitarian rather than a Trinitarian way. Binitarian, Father, Son. Trinitarian, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So Gordon Smith is kind of putting his finger on something here. And it's in a pastoral way, he's calling us to be hungry people for the presence of the Holy Spirit. He explains it as a truncated pneumatology. Pneumatology, the study or the theology of the Holy Spirit. A truncated pneumatology. I want to tell you a little story, a little bit about how I've grown up. I grew up in the midst of a powerful season of renewal in the church. Many of you guys already know this. You know, they've roped the charismatic worship pastor into preaching Pentecost today. I grew up charismatic. My wonderful mom is here visiting. She's a pastor in White Rock. And boy, I could stand up here for a long time and brag about how awesome my mom is. Powerhouse preacher. Teacher, someone who moves in the prophetic anointing, an evangelist, an intercessor. You wonder why I am the way I am today. It's because my mom, my dad, they raised me and they taught me about what it means to be hungry for the Spirit of God, to be hungry for the presence of God. So I grew up in this season of renewal in the church. Many of you have probably experienced similar things in your own lives. And the Holy Spirit marked me in so many powerful ways from a young age. And my mom and dad, they would just drag me to these different things that, you know, the Spirit of God was moving and there was conferences and there was meetings going on. You know, all over the place. They're like, Jeff, do you want to come out with us to mission? There's a gathering going on. People are just coming together for prayer, and the worship would just go on for hours and hours, and I would just be there as a kid. And the Holy Spirit just got a hold on my life in those times, and it just marked me. And I was just ruined for anything else. And I would be in church, and I would just start, like I am now, I would just start crying. You know, the worship's going on and I'm just feeling the presence of God. I'm just crying as a little kid. Like, and I'm like, and I would just look up to my mom and I would say, Mom, like, why am I crying? And my mom in that moment, she recognized, trying to get these words out, friends. She said, you're feeling the presence of God. what you're feeling is the presence of God. And so from a young age, I grew up with this sense, it wasn't like I was on a mountaintop my entire life, don't get me wrong, but I grew up with this sense that the presence of God was not an idea, it was a reality inside of us. That the immediacy, it has an effect, it should have an effect on the people of God, and he has that for you, he has that for me. And actually it lines up with scripture. Just turn over the page into chapter 3, Peter's preaching and he says, repent and turn to God that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Wow, what a crazy phrase that is. Paul, when he's preaching and he's writing to the Corinthians, he says, we were all baptized by one Spirit and we were all given one Spirit to drink. One Spirit to drink. What is he talking about? I don't know. I've never experienced that before. Something in these pages of scripture, God wants to open up and ignite in his church in a fresh way. These are, actually we'll go to this next slide, the quote that Gordon brought that really stood out to me. He said, this is an alliance leader, not a charismatic, crazy kid like me. He says, the gift of the various charismatic renewal movements of the last century has been to affirm the immediacy of the Spirit in the life of the Christian and in the life of the church. This experience with the Spirit is felt. It's an effective awareness. Notice the drama of the scriptural metaphors and images. Mighty wind, fire, baptism, outpouring. These are physical, tangible things. God is trying to get our attention. He doesn't just use these things just for kicks. He's using them to describe the nature of the Spirit. And he's trying to get our attention, teach us something. He's trying to ignite a bit of a hunger in us. You might be thinking, but Jeff, I believe the Spirit is within me, but I don't feel what you feel. I don't feel this immediacy that you and Gordon are talking about. That's fine for some, but I guess it's not for me. I've been there at seasons of my life too. Inherent in that type of response is a heart that's begun to give up. Where's your heart today? And you say, Jeff, what am I supposed to do? Let me suggest to you to take your cues not from emotions, but rather from the example of the early church. Pray. Wait on the Lord, draw near with faith, and pray. Because those who draw near to God, God draws near to them. It may not be in an instant. I'm not trying to over-romanticize this morning. It may not be in an instant, but it is a promise. So don't give up. Don't give up. Even now, the Holy Spirit is kindling something in you, even right in this moment. Don't give up. The gift of the Holy Spirit is for you. And finally, the Holy Spirit, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to empower us to participate in the mission of Jesus. This is glaringly obvious in the text, but allow me just to make what is obvious very plain. The filling of the Spirit for them and for us is for the sake of the world. That's why that phrase and that song just kept ringing out me. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. It wasn't just for them to have a good service. Sometimes charismatics can just set up camp there, and actually there's some unhealth in that. If you want to cling to that just for the sake of, you know, a charismatic experience. No, 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 that's not what it's for. We need those moments, but what those moments do is they mark us for mission. That was what happened with the early church, and that's what the Lord is calling us as a church to in this season. The Holy Spirit came, and they received power. Make no mistake about it. This is exactly what Jesus promised. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And why? What's the last part of that phrase? You will be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, even to the ends of the earth. So right from the start, the Holy Spirit outpouring was directly connected to mission. They were like this. The empowering of the Spirit, it empowered the church to be a burning flame of the gospel wherever they went. And I tell you, I want that flame to touch my life in a fresh way. Holy Spirit, would you do fresh things, ignite fresh things in us as we prayed even in the call to worship. Lord, come in a fresh way. The Holy Spirit came like a fire, and literally within a few generations, the entire world was set on fire with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Within a few generations. There's no other way of explaining it. You can't explain it. The resurrection and the day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit, marked and transformed the church and just propelled them into mission. They could not help themselves. Right away, you can see in our text, this is a missional text right away. It says, the crowd forms from many nations. Where does that start? In verse 5, you know, this is a huge festival. There's thousands and thousands of people pouring into the city. And right away, a crowd forms from many nations. And Peter, he does not hesitate to recognize the opportunity. He preaches the gospel. He opens his mouth and he preaches the gospel. He opens his mouth. The Spirit opened all of their mouths to declare the wonders of God. According to the book of Acts, according to this text here, one of the key signs that the Spirit is at work is the church is mobilizing to go out with the gospel. You can recognize that. When you see that happening, when you see a church mobilizing for mission, think of all the cool things that PCC is up to right now with mission. When you see that happening, recognize that. That's a mark of the Spirit of God doing something in our midst. When the church is mobilizing for mission, you can recognize that is a movement of the Spirit. That's something to be celebrated. That's something to be leaned into. And this is clearly a mark of what the Spirit does when he comes. With fire in their bones and good news on their lips. And right through the narrative, I encourage you, we're going to be camping out in the book of Acts for the whole summer. Just sit in that book and just read it. Just digest it. Get the story into you. Read it again. Because you start reading these things and you start seeing what the Holy Spirit was doing through them and how they moved, how they listened to the Holy Spirit, and how they went. And what kinds of things were happening, like it just kindles fire and kindles fresh passion in me as I read it. Let me encourage you to do that this summer. Make the book of Acts your, like just camp there and just absorb it and just ask, Holy Spirit, mark me with your presence in the way that you marked the early church. Because if not, what are we doing? We got to read the story again. I often think of the prophet Jeremiah when I think about the early church and just how they just, again and again, they took these opportunities to preach the gospel. They were a church on fire. And I think of the prophet Jeremiah, who himself was a man on fire sent with a message of God. And there's this famous section in chapter 20, and Jeremiah is kind of thinking to himself and kind of wrestling with this. The Lord has put this thing in his heart, and he said, his word is in my heart like a fire. like a fire shut up in my bones. And he says, I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I'm just like, man, I read things like that. I think of the early church. I read things like that and I'm like, oh, Lord, just would you light a flame in my soul like these guys? A fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Oh, it's like, I bring my life to that text. I'm like, I can't even touch that. I'm like, Holy Spirit, come. You know what I mean? Like, I'm hungry for this kind of faith. I'm hungry for a biblical kind of faith, a radical kind of faith, and God has that for us by his Spirit. As I was preparing and thinking about PCC and thinking about all of the really cool missional things that we got going on and just thinking about who we are as a community, I started to think about how many people I know in this place that really remind me a lot of that prophet Jeremiah. There's actually a lot of people at PCC that I could be like, yeah, that person reminds me of Jeremiah. People like Leah Haggerty, who it feels like if you poke Leah, just like evangelism and the gospel would just spew out of her. We talk about some of these things. I'm like, Leah, I'm like, there's a gift of evangelism on your life. Those who know Leah, you know what I'm talking about. It's like, but she's just one of many. You know, people like, I think of Matt Campbell, you know, and all that he's championing with CCK for those in need right here in Cloverdale. And let me tell you, it's not just physical hunger that brings them here. There is something deeper going on in people as they come. I think of people like Jim Sawatsky. Is Jim here? Is Jim in Israel? No? I think of Jim Sawatsky. Many of you guys, you might not even know this. On Monday nights at Cafe, Jim started doing a Bible study with people after the meal. He started inviting people that came to Monday Night Cafe. He's like, do you want to learn more about this God who is so good? And so he's pastoring a table of hungry people right from the streets on a Monday night basis. It's like this is what I'm talking about. Guys like Jim Sawatsky, they remind me a lot of Jeremiah. I think of Arthur Timmis and Marcus just pounding that alpha drum, you know? It's like, we gotta make this a priority. It's like, they cannot contain themselves. They're like, this gospel, this good news, we cannot keep it to ourselves. We need to be talking to our neighbors. I think about them, I think about Jeremiah, like fire shut up in their bones. And Marcus, he gets up here and he's just starting to amp up. Woo! Talk about a fire in his bones. I think of Tim Higginbotham. I'm not sure if Tim's here. And all he's doing with NAME, serving the First Nations people. Pulling all of us into Mount Currie for some crazy missional adventures with First Nations communities right here in our own backyard. He's a man with a fire shut up in his bones. He can't hold it in. He can't help himself. Think of Sarah Tilley and her valiant kids camp team preparing to host dozens of kids from our neighborhoods, all for the sake of them being encountered by Jesus by the power of the Spirit. I get excited about that. Recognize that when those kinds of things are happening, it's the Holy Spirit at work empowering us for mission. And there's many more. I could go on and on. But my call today is, where are the evangelists, PCC? Where are the evangelists? We need you to rise up. We need the gift of evangelism in this place to rise up. We need people with fire in their heart to rise up. We need you to lead us. People that this comes really naturally to, we need you guys to open up your voice. What happened in the book of Acts? The Spirit came, they opened up their mouths. Peter stands up, he opens up his mouth, thousands of people. We need you to open up your mouth.